Okay, so today is Mefarshim Day, Perek Lamed Aleph. Okay, so really, as we pointed out, there's two big issues over the course of this Perek. Number one is the naming of Bezalel, the appointment of Bezalel, and his very difficult confirmation process that he had to go to. It became very parochial and, but very partisan process that he had to go through. Senators were being very pressured by their base to not approve his, but he got through. He snuck through his nomination. What? Yeah, they got it through. All right, and then the second section is has to do with Shabbos. There's a discussion here about Shabbos. Why is there a discussion here about Shabbos? So maybe we'll touch on that. And then there's this last little pasuk here of, oh, by the way, God gave Moshe the Torah. Which is the end of this parak. It's unclear whether it should be part of this parak or part of the next parak. If you remember the prakim or not, there's nothing really religious about the prakim. It was done by a Catholic guy in around the year 900, I think, in Spain. So where he decides to put the chapter breaks has some thought into it, but it's not necessarily something that you darshan out as what were the rabbis thinking by dividing it up this way, because after all, the rabbis didn't divide up that way. Why did we keep it? It's a good question. Anyway, can we think of an answer to Bruce's kasha? Why would we keep the Catholics' chapter and verse count?
Because that's the way the printers would print it.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Why do we have our own for them 22,000 years before?
And what did they do before? Yeah, so what they did before was really count from the samachs and the peis, count from the breaks. That's what they used to do. In fact, the Rambam, he records where his breaks and stuff should be, and that's where his Hilchos Sefer Torah, he spells out how to write a Sefer Torah. He says where the breaks should be. So that's probably how it was kept track of before. The reason we kept the chapters, Bruce, is because kind of along the lines of what Len was saying, my understanding, it had more to do with specific disputations and stuff that you get into a... They were being challenged to defend ourselves, and they'd be brought up with the chapter and verse. We had to defend ourselves. We had to know what they were talking about. So in order to make it easy to communicate under those circumstances, we kept the chapter and verse count, for better or for worse. But that was what we did. Okay. So anyway, so Perek Lamed Aleph begins with, Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Hey, Karasi... We called the name this fellow named Bezalel. And we filled him up with God's godly spirit, and he has all this knowledge and understanding, and he's perfect for the job. So, great. So the Ramban makes a comment. Rei Hashem Lemoshe, Amar Hashem Lemoshe, Rei Karasi B'Shem. We called him by name. Moshe Amar Li Yisrael, Ru Karasi B'Shem. That's what Moshe then correspondingly said to Bnei Yisrael. The same thing. Why? What does that mean? Kara Hashem B'Shem. Batam Ki Yisrael B'Mitzrayim Peruchim Bavu Dasel Chomer V'Lvenim. Because what were the Jews' jobs in Egypt? Their jobs were not a little artistic. They weren't the ones making the... what are the pictures called in Egypt on all the hieroglyphics, right? The Jews were not the expert hieroglyphic painters, nor were they the jewelers, nor were they the weavers. They were the builders. So these building union, right? They generally don't mix well with the artistic guys. It's usually a different skill set. So now you have, where are you going to find a Jew that will be able to do with these deal with these artistic issues? So that's what we were special about. Vinehu Pella, she. I don't know if they built. Did they really build the pyramids? Is that like assumed?
No pyramids.
What?
No, the Egyptians.
Len says the Jews didn't build the pyramids.
Right. They built the store.
They built the cities. I mean, all it says in the Torah is that they built Esfison and Es Ramses. They built those two cities. Yeah. Beyond that, I don't know. So anyways, v'nehu pelashi matzi behem adam chacham gadol b'kesu v'zav v'charoshes evin v'eitz v'choshiv v'rokim v'oreg. If so, it is a wonderment, it is a pellet that they're able to find somebody with these skills. But even if ki af belomdim lufnei chachamim lo yimatzei baki b'cholim lo skulam, and even if you were to train somebody in something, it would be very difficult to find an expert in all of them. By yodim v'aragilim, and can be used to them and can talk to them about it, and it wouldn't. You know, therefore, that's why he's considered so unique. Bochu chacham gadol b'chacham dunu v'das mahavin soda mishkan, to also understand the mishkan. I mean, not only was he able to have the skill set in order to put these things together, but he also was an expert in the. In the understanding the secrets of the design of the Mishkan. So you put all of that together, you had an excellent candidate called Bezalel, who was going to be the man.
We talk a lot about Bezalel, and very rarely all the
assistant. Right.
What do you get second billing? I mean, why is he billing at all if you're going to do that?
I heard there's a different measure to something that he goes bail. One of his grandsons
Okay, I don't know. I have to wait to see more. I don't have an answer. Other than, you know, he's the second fiddle. Be a second fiddle.
He made it into the Bible.
That's pretty good, right? Okay.
But everybody knows.
Yes. Yes. I mean, Bezalel clearly was in charge. Eliyahu was the second guy. Bezalel also is the one who worked out the order. I mean, he's the one, there's an argument, we'll get to it later, with Moshe and Bezalel, and Bezalel wins this argument with Moshe. So Bezalel gets cred. There was an Or Chaim here that I wanted, but... Oh. Okay. Fine. Anyway, so that's the story with Bezalel. There is another Ramban. We talked about this the other day in Pasuk Yud. It's verse 10 for those keeping score at home. We said, well, the things that he made amongst the garments were Vyas Bigdei HaSarad. He made these pleated garments, is the way it's translated, pleated garments. Vyas Bigdei HaKodesh LaAaron HaKohen. And the holy garments for Aaron the Kohen, Vyas Bigdei Vanav LaKahen. And the Gadim of his sons to be Kohanim. So what were the Bigdei Hasrad? If he's talking about making the garments for Aaron and for his children, what are these Bigdei Hasrad that's mentioned first? So Rashi there claims that they are the garments, if you look in Bamidbar, in Perek Dalet of Bamidbar, towards the end of Parshas Bamidbar, it talks about Bnei Yisrael getting moving, so they had to move with all of the Kalim, and they made these garments, they made these coverings for the Kalim. That's what Bigdei Hasrad is referring to. Those garments which were used to cover the vessels of the Mishkan when they traveled through the desert. Okay? That's the pshat that Rashi gives. So the Ramban comes and says, why weren't these commanded? If they were so important, why didn't they get a commandment here? So he says, well, it says, suggests the Ramban, v'ulai lo haisa behem kveda v'yasu sam kirsun b'gdei sarad imin echad levado v'hem asu min atcheles v'argamad v'lash ha-shini. He says, well, maybe they weren't commanded because there were no rules. Yes, it's true they had to cover them, but there were no restrictions as to what exactly it's supposed to be. Fine. Right, however, if you look in Bamidbar, it does give instructions. If you look in Bamidbar, it says that Tchilas was for this, and the argument was for this, and this, and it lists off the Kalim and what kind of covering they got. So says the Ramban. Well, yeah, va'acharei shenasu kein, after they made them, after these things were made, Ratz Hashem shia at Tchilas liar. So then Hashem decided what's going to go for what. Argan lizbech, v'shein l'shulchan, right, and all of that, and that's the way the Ramban explains pshat in Rashi, that Bnei Yisrael realized that it needs to be a cover. They made up these covers. There were no rules and regulations for those covers, but once the covers were made and were different from one another, Hashem came along and said, oh, this will be for that vessel, that will be for that vessel, and that will be for the other vessel, and everything is great. Comes the Ramban and says, "V'chasafti zeh inu lefishitas Rashi, v'chol zeh einenu shoveli." Let me know what that's from. V'chol zeh what? Megillah, yes, Megillah Esther. So he invokes that's a pasuk from Megillah Esther. That's what Haman says to his wife and kids. I'm honored, I'm this and that, the other thing. Right, every time I see Mordechai, I get all upset again. So the Ramban says this about Rashi. Right, all of that is worth nothing to me. I don't like Rashi's pshat. I'm going to give a totally different pshat. Kimatam, and he gives a bunch of questions. Kimatam Shemar Kosh Baruch Moshe Yasubidi Akalaim Obigdi Asreda Belisha Yivar Lo Kama Kamayu. I mean, how could it be that they were like commanded, like they were told, but they weren't told how many they were going to be, 2 or 100? We don't know. V'od Shemaskir Osam Liolam Kodem Bigdi Aaron. And not only that, but they're always mentioned before the Bigadim of the Aaron. Of Aaron, which one? What would be more impressive? Right? What is more chashuv? These coverings of the vessels, or the clothing that was actually worn by Aaron, right? Which one is more important? Obviously, the clothes worn by Aaron. So ask the Ramban, if Rashi is right that this is only referring to the coverings of the kelim, then why are they constantly mentioned, constantly here and in Parshas Pekudei, I think, why are they constantly mentioned before the clothing of Aaron? Why are they categorized with the clothing of Aaron? And why are they mentioned before the clothing of Aaron? Right? It's good kasha, right? So, and the Ramban has another question. All right, there's some other details. But fine. So those are some of the questions that the Ramban asked on Rashi's pshat. Va'olam midivri rabosenu ki bigdei hasarad heim bigdei kohuna atzman. He says he disagrees. He says, no, that is referring to the bigdei of the kohanim. V'huskers, and it's mentioned actually in Maseches Yuma. Okay. V'imkein hanachun shenefarish bigdei hasarad. If that's the case, right, what else is in the pasuk? In the pasuk is also mentioned the bigdei kodesh for Aaron and the bigdei vanav l'kahein. So the Begadim are already mentioned elsewhere in the Pasuk. So what is this coming teaching you extra? Rather, these garments are being used to demonstrate, these are the specific things to demonstrate the single unique person amongst the Jews. Who is the single unique person amongst the Jews? The Kohen Gadol. So these are the Kohen Gadol's garments. The problem is, the very next phrase talks about the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. So which one is it? V'chein asridim asher Hashem karei, he quotes a couple of things. V'yirmuz levigdei Aaron, v'karem kein, shelo yil v'shem rak yachid bedoro. Because only one person in his generation wears it. Aaron b'chayev, Aaron in his generation, v'achrov ha-Kohen Gadol, asher yutzak al-rosho, shemen ha-mishcha, mal yadu levush ha-sabagadim. And after him, the one who they put the special oil on. V'kasev yaser bigdei Aaron li'olam derech kavod, k'mo she'amar, and he quotes a couple, v'zetam es bigdei aserad, v'shereis b'kosh es bigdei akosh de'aron ha'kohen, kishav l'va'er. So he says, that's the pshat. You don't read it as a separate phrase, rather you read it as together. V'yaz bigdei haserad, es bigdei ha'kodesh de'aron ha'kohen, these special unique garments, the begadim that Aaron wore. A couple of problems. Why is there a vav in there? And B, it doesn't really fit within the trup, right? If you would read this as Yulainid, it goes like this: V'ye speak de hasrad, V'ye speak de akosh Aaron hakohen, V'ye speak de vanav lechahen. Sounds like it's totally separate from the next part, but that's what the Ramban says. And he says, and the Ramban continues and says, because the reason there's a separation, I guess, is to say that there's really two unique features that the Kohen Gadol wore, the two aspects of the Kohen Gadol's begadim. Number one, that he had to wear these begadim in order to do the avodah for Hashem, and number two, they were clothing that he wore to make him unique amongst the nations. That was a separate purpose of it, and therefore it gets a separate phrase within the Chumash. Okay, so that is the suggestion that is put out there as to what Bigdei Hasarad is. Seems like a machlokas amongst the exegesis, Ramban versus Rashi. All right? What? With a G. Okay, they say, yes. It has been alleged, yeah.
So, I suppose this is very Kabbalistic. Do you have any insight into exactly what that means?
Exactly what it means?
Exactly.
No.
Generally, what it
means? No, not really.
The utensils and the elements of the Mishkan represent the kind of the brick and mortar of, was created, so
yeah, I don't have much to say about that. Not yet. Maybe Parshas Vayakil. Or Pekudei. Oh, or could be assigned for you?
Do we have it somewhere?
But
I heard a shear about that somewhere.
Yeah. yeah. I feel like I might. There might be a printout showing up on my tomorrow morning. Yeah, there are references, but in terms of a holistic view of the whole Mishkan, how it matches things up, I don't have an approach at the top of my fingertips to give over. Maybe if I use my fingertips to type something, I might, but as of now, I don't. Okay, so then we continue on with regards to the mitzvah of Shabbos. So Hashem says to Moshe, saying, V'atazabrel b'nei Yisrael, more achas Shabbos society tomorrow. Make sure you keep the Shabbos. So what is that coming to tell us? So Rashi says, yeah, because you're working so hard to do the Mishkan, don't forget that you need to observe Shabbos. Right? And even adds in, that's the word ach. Ach is a miut. Ach is what we call a, how do you translate a miut? A deduction. It's specific. It's an exclusion. Right? Ach, Shabbos Ayat Yishmor. But make sure you keep Shabbos. I mean, maybe I would have thought you do the Mishkan and that's your work, and the work on Mishkan should be 24/7. No, make sure to keep the Shabbos. Work on the Mishkan is only going to be 24/6. That's Rashi's pshat, echoed by the Sforno. The Sforno comments, Ach v'al pi shetzavisi al malachas ha-mishkan mikol makom es Shabbos Ayat Yishmoru v'lo tidchu osan b'shvila. Even though I've commanded you about the work on the Mishkan, still the observe the Shabbos and don't push it off on behalf of the Mishkan. That's how the Sforno comments. The Rashba makes a similar comment. Fine. The Rabban raises a question. He doesn't really answer it. He quotes this as well. He says, "V'lo nischavi netzli." It doesn't fit well by me. Why? Because according to the drasha that you're making about the ach and the rak, ach kashap society shmoru, usually the terminal that ach, that miut, that deduction, goes on that phrase. Doesn't go on the previous phrase, it goes on that phrase. So the Rabban says, if that's the case, you should really read it, right, as he gives an example of that. Right, according to that, the Ach and the Rak should be limiting Shmirah Shabbos, not limiting the Mishkan.
Oh,
gosh.
I'm just saying it's not fair for Rashi. Rashi came out with a statement. Rambam was a generation later. But Rashi never... But
Rabban can't answer back. It's okay.
Yeah, it's funny, Rashi's not around.
It's okay, Rashi has his defenders, and there's others that seem to accept Rashi's pshat as well. But the Rabban doesn't really answer it either. The Rabban doesn't really give you what his pshat is. At least I couldn't really figure it out. But his question is, ach, it seems to be limiting Shabbos, not limiting the Mishkan. By the way, Rashi read it as we limit the Mishkan, say Mishkan, you can only build 20, it doesn't override Shabbos. But if you're going to use, according to the regular standard methodology of Ach V'Rak, about that terminology, it should be limiting Shabbos, not limiting the Mishkan. It should be teaching you, Dafka, generally you don't do Malach on Shabbos, but when it comes to building the Mishkan, you do. That's the Rabban's question. And it's a Shabbos. Right? It comes to tell you that by Mila and Bikuach Nefesh, it's used to tell you that those do limit Shabbos, right? We do limit Shabbos and do a bris on Shabbos. We do limit Shabbos and save a life on Shabbos.
Right.
So there should be limitations of Shabbos as opposed to a limitation of the Mishkan. Ramban tries to give a Kabbalistic explanation as to what's going on here with multiple worlds, but I don't think he actually gets to I didn't see how we got to the bottom line of answering this question. What?
I mean, he kind of sidesteps it, gives an answer, but yeah. Not directly.
He doesn't seem to be solving that issue.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. If you go to Pasuk Yudalu, Shmartim es haShabbos ki kodesh hilachem, you're going to cherish the Shabbos, safeguard the Shabbos as it's special to you. Mechal lehamos yumas. If one violates it, mos yumas is a death penalty. So ki kodesh hu lachem. So the Sforno makes a point here. It says ushmartem es haShabbos ki kodesh hi lachem. It's a mitzvah asay. It's a positive commandment, and the mechal lehamos yumas going on the los asay. Ve'ein roy litchus ase v'lo tase sheyish bo misa tilkayim ase shem lechas ha-mishkan. So that's what it works out. Because Shabbos specifically has an ase and a lo tase aspect to it, there's a positive and a negative aspect to it, which is known in the Aseret HaDibros language as, how do we see the positive and negative aspects of Shabbos from the Ten Commandments?
Low. Just
for
the word low.
What? No. Shamor and Zachor, right? Zachor is the positive, and Shamor is the negative.
Oh, you're right.
Right. Which, of course, raises the question, which we pointed out before in this class, why is it in Lecha Dodi said Shamor v'Zachor, and not Zachor v'Shamor, right? Zachor is first, it's in Shmos, and Shamor is in Dvarim. So why do we say, why in Lecha Dodi do we say Shamor v'Zachor b'divur echad? Well, it's a little easier to say what he used to.
Because in the creation, Shabbos came last.
So
he's saying that first, first in full and last in,
No. They're both talking about Shabbos itself. Shamor. Right, Zachor is first, Shamor is second. But we say it as Shamor v'Zachor v'dibur echad
yishmiyon. So you're guarding it? That's a negative?
Yeah.
And then, so, course,
so you could keep positive. You could keep putting your thumbs through it, but the real answer is of course the guy who's the name of the person who wrote Lecha Dodi?
Alkabetz.
His first name was Shlomo.
Right.
His first name was Shlomo. His first name was Zalman. It would have been Zachor v'Shamor. But the word Lecha Dodi spells out Shlomo. That's the so if it would have been if his name would have been Zalman, it would have said the opposite. Right. They, if you, even more so, Shlomo and Zalman usually go together. Zalman is Yiddish for Solomon, right? Shlomo, right? So where Shlomo Alkabetz lived, where? Anybody know?
Tzvat.
In Tzvat, yes. It's Kever, so you could go visit his Kever today in Tzvat, the Kaplech Hadodi written on it. So if he would have lived at the same time in Krakow, it would have been Zachor v'Shamor, because it's Zalman. They would have been Zalman instead of Shlomo. All right, anyways. So what else do we got here? In the next pasuk, in pasuk Tesvav, another line from the Sfar. Now it says, "Sheshes yamim yasem melacha." For 6 days you'll do work. So it says the Sfar, "Nei sheshes yamei hamasa tochlu lasos melachas mishkan." During the 6 days of work, that's when you should conclude your work of the mishkan. I mean, the Sfar spells out this entire section as dealing with mishkan-related matters. It's not. I mean, the question is, why do we need another mitzvah of Shabbos? Why do we need mentioned again here? So it's all about the Mishkan, says the Sforno. Because in 6 days you should be able to complete the Mishkan. You shouldn't need all 7 days. So therefore, there's no reason to push off Shabbos in its wake. Shein shum mitzvah docha Shabbos elim kein yelo zman kavua biyara hazman b'Shabbos. The only mitzvos that apply on Shabbos that would beat up Shabbos. There are a couple of mitzvos that we would beat out Shabbos. Anybody know? We mentioned one before. What? Well, saving a life, that's not really a mitzvah. It's kind of a dispensation. Bris Mila. Yeah. What else? We mentioned that already. What else? It's a little bit of a tougher question. What other mitzvos include a violation of the Shabbos, and we actually do it on Shabbos? Mace mitzvah. Mace mitzvah is also not really one of the 613 mitzvahs. Okay, good. Okay, that has to do with the bikuach nefesh issue. That's a limitation. But there are specific mitzvos, not just one, plural mitzvos that beat out Shabbos, and we actually, to do those malachos, to do that mitzvah, we will do it on Shabbos despite the fact that it's a violation of the Shabbos.
And in temple.
Very good. Yes, the Beis Hamikdash, the Avodah, the Beis Hamikdash, the Korbanos. All right, think about how many malachos are involved in a korban, right? In offering a korban. So all of those would beat out the Shabbos. So the Sforno says, here's the rule. The rule is if there is a specific time to do that mitzvah, it beats out Shabbos. If it's a mitzvah that could be done at any time, it doesn't beat out Shabbos. So he says the building of the Mishkan is a Mishkan that is not restrained to just Shabbos itself, so therefore it doesn't beat out Shabbos. As opposed to Mila and Avoda, the commandment is to do it on Shabbos, so therefore you're going to do it on Shabbos. Yes?
He built the Mishkan in 6 days?
Oh, well, I think he said, it didn't just take them 6 days. I think the six days were enough to... I mean, just working Shabbos through Friday gave them enough time to get the Mishkan done. I mean, it's unclear what the deadline was for getting it done, but it wasn't just 1 week, it was multiple weeks.
Why is it that it allowed for Shabbos to be violated for the Korbans? You would think that they should take a rest also. Everybody else is taking a rest. Why
is there? So it doesn't sound like you're asking for the technical answer. Technical answer is asi dochelot asay. You have a mitzvah. When there's a mitzvah and when a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah clash in a way that you would be unable to do both, So you only do the positive. The positive mitzvah beats out the negative mitzvah. So, for example, anyone know examples of that? The only way to do the positive mitzvah is by violating a negative mitzvah, so we do it. So one of them is bris on Shabbos, avoda, right? Any others outside of the realm of Shabbos that you can think of? Yibum, levirate marriages. Well, that's even more because that the Torah explicitly says violate. You know, but tzitzis is an example. I think have you spoken about this? Well, maybe we'll talk about this one day. Tzitzis, the tchelas strings has to be wool. So if you're wearing a linen four-cornered garment, can you wear a wool tchelas tzitzis? And the answer is yes, as long as it's as long as you're sure that it's really tchelas. Well, blowing the shofar is blowing the shofar is only a din derabanan. But there is a taz there that says, but you will blow it the second day, and it doesn't get rid of it always. There's a taz over there on page Shulchan Aruch that asks, listen, there's a prohibition of playing instruments on Yontif also. Why should we prohibit blowing shofar on Yontif and Shabbos because you're not allowed to play instruments. Right. So the answer is because if that would totally get rid of the entire mitzvah, so then you don't go ahead and do it. But there's a different mechanism running there. Because there, why don't we blow shofar when it falls on Shabbos? You know, the exact reason. Other than the rabbi said so. That's the exact reason. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara. One position is that because they figure it out based on psukim. So we don't pass them like that. We assume the real reason is because we're afraid that somebody may carry it in Rosh Hashanah to go visit an expert. That's the answer.
Which you can carry on Yom Tov, but
because I'm afraid that if we have to blow shofar on Shabbos, somebody's going to take it and carry it in the public domain in order to learn how to blow it better on Shabbos. Okay, so you can ask. Well, wait a second. So the positive mitzvah shofar should beat out the negative mitzvah. No, so why doesn't it? Because it's not necessary to do. There are ways. You don't need to carry it in the public domain in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Be prepared and make sure it's in the right place. So therefore, you're not permitted to do it that way. We're afraid people will do it that way. There's a concept called Yesh Koch Biat Vechamim Lakar Dover Min HaTorah Bekum Veshev V'Atasa. You quote all that? Yesh Koch Biat Vechamim, the Chachamim have the power. Lakar Dover Min HaTorah, to uproot something from the Torah. Veshev V'Atasa, when they're telling you to just sit and not do anything. Yesh Koch Biat Vechamim. So the Chachamim have the ability to say, don't do a mitzvah. We think that that's for the better good.
So what is so
well, that's what it has to end. No, it's a mitzvah to bring a korban on Shabbos.
What?
Listen, you come to shul and daven musaf. You're always complaining there aren't enough songs in musaf. You ever pay attention to the words? What does it say there? Uviyom, 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 ha-shabbos. Uviyom, ha-shabbos. Shnei chivasim b'nei shana tamimim. What does that mean? On Shabbos, there were two kivasim, two sheep. B'nei Shana Tamim, that one year that were complete. They had to be brought on Shabbos. Oh, we'll bring it on Sunday. What? Says you got to bring it on Sunday. What are you singing about? The reason is because Hashem said so.
Why do you bring Korbanos? I mean, we don't understand.
Sure.
So it's part of the.
Sure.
It's part of Shabbos.
Okay.
You have this time space.
Yes, Len.
And you were sentence about
the time and space in the place to switch.
The tzitzis, we all wear either cotton or wool tzitzis, right? Or mesh or whatever. But not getting into whether what's good or what's not. All right. All right, we have wool and cotton, right? That's what we wear. In theory, and the tzitzis themselves are always going to be wool. Now, the halacha is that... that in theory the tzitzis themselves could be whatever material the garment is. If you're wearing cotton tzitzis, in theory, whatever, fine. But the one exception to that is that the tchila string, the blue string, has to be wool. Okay, so that's fine if you're wearing a wool garment. There's no question. If you're wearing a cotton garment, no question. What if you're wearing a linen garment? So you're going to be violating shatness. So the answer is that's okay. That's okay because that's the way the Torah. That's the way the mitzvah is given.
We never wear the blue string.
Some do, and the Torah. Whether we do or don't, the Gemara talks about it. The Gemara assumes that people are. right?
That's only because we don't know.
We don't know, we're not sure, we do know, or maybe we're not entitled, whatever, that's for another time. Okay, one more, just one more line here, and that is the very last line of this parak, the very Toba Har Sinai, that Hashem gave this to Moshe to tell at Har Sinai, these two tablets, Luchos Evan Ksuvim Be'etzpa Lukim, that are written with the finger of Hashem. So the so what's that doing here? So the Sforno says, yeah, now that we learned what Moshe was doing on the mountain for 40 days, why didn't we reach that goal? Because Hashem had said the purpose of Matan Torah is for a few things. Remember in Yisro we say we're going to make Mamachas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. Did it happen? So no. As we're about to get in, the very next pasuk begins the story of the Chet HaEgel. So we tell us that yes, it's true, this is the entire Torah was given, but end up not fulfilling its purpose, not achieving what it was meant to achieve, because B'nai Yisrael didn't do what they were supposed to do. That's what the Sforno says. That's introduction to the next section, which Yirtzeh Hashem will get to on the days and weeks ahead. Yirtzeh Hashem.
Yeah.
But you heard about the big switch?
Yeah.
No, yes. What happened?
I'm going to be giving shiurim on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, henceforth.
Monday, Tuesday.
As it says on the agenda, you changed it.
What?